Jay, we'll keep you guys up here next weekend. And we won't be in our regular study because he'll be teaching the Sunday school class. But we will get into our regular lesson this morning. Brother Ken, if you could come and help me, please. We continue this morning in our study of why we are Baptist. Again, looking at why we are what we are, why we believe what we believe. While he's handing that out, we took Jocelyn to college Friday, and she is going to Mount Vernon Nazarene University. I'm not worried about her getting false doctrine or anything like that, or thinking she can lose her salvation. And so we weren't concerned about it being Nazarene. But I don't know if in Baptist churches you can get the gamut. You know, you can get good fundamental Bible believing churches like this, or you can get into some where it's a circus atmosphere with the contemporary music. You know, even in Baptist churches they've got that. You know, with dress standards and music that are not all that good. And so I don't know if the Nazarenes have that too, if some of them are very conservative and some of them are not. But Jocelyn called me last night. We took her up Friday and then left about 5 in the evening. At 7 they were having their ribbon cutting for all the new students and encouraging the parents to stay. But anyways, we couldn't stay for that, but Jocelyn called. She said, "Dad, I'm glad you didn't stay here." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "It was scary." She said, "They all got in there and they started playing this rock music." And it was contemporary Christian music. But he said they started playing this rock music and everybody had their hands up in the air and they're jumping up and down and moving all around. And she said, "I just stood there scared to death. I didn't know what to do." And so apparently their services are like that. And we took her up there. We weren't impressed. You know, it's a Christian college, so to speak. And they were very nice people, very helpful, very good. It'd be a good place for her if she can tolerate that stuff. You know, she's got chapel. She's allowed to go after today. She can go to church wherever she wants to. And we found the Mount Vernon Baptist Temple, so she knows where to go and all that. So she can do that. But she's got chapel Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Going to have to be exposed to that, you know, every week. That kind of music and that kind of atmosphere. And that's going to be hard for her to deal with. So pray for her, if you would, while she's there. She went for her nursing, and they have a good program. And I don't know how I would do if I had to, you know, even to go for what they offer, the good stuff, but to have to sit through that 3 days a week, I think would be kind of difficult. So just shows you, we need to know why we believe what we believe. You know, somebody would, you know, she said you wouldn't have liked that, and she knew that. And you know, if somebody there, one of the ladies that came around took our picture, and she was the chaplain's assistant or something like that. And I'm sure on the record on Jocelyn's, they knew her dad was a pastor. And so they were encouraging me to stick around for the 7 o'clock service that night. They wanted me to be there. And I told them I wouldn't be able to be there, and they were disappointed in it. It's probably better for them and better for me that we didn't stick around for it. And they'd say, "Well, what's wrong? Well, you know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with the way they're dressed? What's wrong with what they're doing?" And we have to know why we believe. We can't just say, "Well, I don't agree with that or believe in it because we've never done that before." Well, that doesn't mean anything. Before I got saved, I'd never done any of this stuff before. So the fact that it's new doesn't make it wrong. But it's got to line up with the Word of God. It's got to line up with the Bible. That has to be our standard. And so we need to know, even in our realm, in our regard, we need to know. Somebody comes in here and says, "Man, why are you like this? Why do you do this thing or that thing?" We've got to know why we are what we are and why we believe what we believe. And so we've been looking at these distinctives so that we can define ourselves by these. Now, we can't, you know, it would take years to put down everything of what we are and why we believe what we believe. But these are just some simple things. And again, we've used that acrostic. We've used the title Baptist and used each of the letters to try to give us a start or a clue into what we're doing. And this morning we come to the I in Baptist, and that is individual soul liberty. This is a very important doctrine, and it's not something that you might necessarily think of. And if you've been raised in a Baptist church, it's not something that you would even think would be worth mentioning. But it is. And that is that every single individual, now we talked about the priesthood of the believer, that every single individual is responsible before God themselves. Now, thank God, with the priesthood of the believer, we know that we can have direct access to God. As a believer, we don't need a priest, we don't need a church, we don't need a pastor as a go-between. We can have direct access with God. We don't have to have someone explain to us the Bible. We can open it, if we're born again and have the Holy Spirit in our heart, we can open the Bible, and though we might not get everything the first time like that, the Spirit of God is able to teach us and guide us personally and individually and directly, and we don't need someone else's help necessarily to understand the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean we can't learn from others and glean from others, but we can have personal access to God. Now, hand in hand with that, and going on a different realm, is this individual soul liberty. Yes, we can have direct access to God. We don't need anybody else. But you do have an individual standing before God. God is going to require of every single individual. There's nobody to hide behind. Because there's the priesthood, because you don't need a priest, because you don't need a church, it also means, number one, the benefit, you have direct access to God. But the other thing is, you can't hide behind anything else. You can't say, well, my church. I'll see if I can get this right. George Whitfield, the Methodist evangelist, was talking to somebody. He said, what do you believe? And he says, well, I believe what my church believes. And he said, well, what does your church believe? He said, well, my church believes what I believe. We believe the same thing. There was no, you know, that person didn't have a clue what they individually believed. It was just, whatever the church believes, well, that's what I believe. And a lot of times you'll knock on somebody's door, you'll witness to somebody, and you'll say, do you know this, are you doing that? Well, my church teaches this, or my church believes that. Well, it doesn't really matter. It's individual. Individual soul liberty. Notice we have on the paper Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. Every individual is going to be responsible to God for the decisions they make in this life. Now, we're focusing specifically on the spiritual. There are some things in life you're not allowed to make your own decision about. I don't like that guy. Should I let him live or should I kill him? You're not allowed to make your own individual. So understand, when we say individual soul liberty, there are consequences to the decisions we make. And it's not like, oh, that light's red. Can I stop or can I go? I don't want to stop. Nobody can tell me what to do. I'm going to go anyways. All right? There are responsibilities and there are consequences for making wrong decisions. But it is an individual thing. If you're born into a Christian home, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you're born into a non-believing home, it doesn't make you a non-believer. Every individual has the responsibility to make their own decision and their own path for their own life. But every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So, it's your choice, but understand there is a responsibility involved. It's your choice, but understand there is a consequence. Romans 10:13. For whosoever, all right, every single individual. That's not a collective body. That's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I can't get saved because Ken calls upon the name of the Lord to be saved. My kids can't get saved because I called upon them. My parents can't get saved because I called. Every individual has to make his own personal decision. This is going to be important as we go down through here to realize this. And again, this is a truth that you probably say, what's the big deal? Who doesn't know that? There's a lot of folks that don't know that. A lot of them, they're trusting their church to get them to heaven. No collective organization ushers people into the pearly gates. It's an individual standard. Every one of us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every individual has to make a personal decision to trust Christ as Savior. We would like to make people do that. I think of the young fellow, I went to Bible college with. He was kind of rough around the edges when he got there. We went out street preaching, and the first time we were out there, we had to go pull him off a guy because he had him pinned down to the ground and was preaching at him and say, you need to trust Christ, you need to get... And he was trying to coerce him into getting saved. And there are religions in this world, you know, that are all for violence and force and coercion to get people to convert to their religion. A coerced decision for Christ is not a decision for Christ. A decision, either you become a Christian or we cut your head off, That's not a sincere decision to trust Christ. So we don't believe in coercion or force or violence or anything like that in the area of spiritual realm. Now, there does have to be that area, you know, the man that killeth any man, he shall surely be put to death. All right, there are principles in the Bible that gives us those guidelines, but as far as individual responsibility to God, it's between that person and God. It says in Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever, there's the other whosoever. All right, the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the individual making a decision for Christ. Here's the individual making a decision not to choose Christ. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We cannot force people to make a decision for Christ. All we can do is present the gospel. And they individually have to decide whether they want to accept it or reject it. We can pray for them. Prayer changes things. We can pray for them that God would break their hearts, melt their hearts, reach their soul, reach their heart some way. But we cannot force them, because a forced conversion is not conversion. And so whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you, I beg, I plead. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. It's not, oh, God, you want a sacrifice? Okay, here, take him. You want somebody to go to the mission field? Okay, God, take him. We have to offer ourselves first. All right? Offer ourselves to his service. Now, he might not call upon us to be the missionary or do this thing, but we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice. You say, do I have to do that? No. That's why Paul was begging and pleading with the church at Rome to do it, because they didn't have to do it. But Paul was saying, I wish you would, I beg, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You don't have to force someone to surrender to God. You can't force someone to give their heart to God. You can't control their heart. And so it has to be an individual thing. Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. It's got to be a matter of personal choice. We all have loved ones that are lost, and we would like to see them get saved. And if there was some physical way for us to do it, we would do it for them. But we can't. It has to be a personal decision from their heart to do it. We've got friends, we've got work associates, whatever it is, that we just know how much better their life would be if they would trust Christ as Savior. They've got all these obstacles, whether they're mental or physical or emotional, whatever it is, all these things that prohibit them right now from trusting Christ. And all these excuses of why they can't do it. And we just know if they would step over those excuses, they'd get all the answers. We know what would happen, because we've been there. And we know if they just trust Christ, everything else would fall into place. It's not going to be a miracle or anything like that. But they're going to get the questions that are so important to them answered if they just take a step of faith. But we can't make them do it. They have to do it themselves. Sometimes that can be the frustrating thing. You can be witness to somebody, and they can just be telling you, my life is a shambles, it's a mess, you know, this has happened, that's happened. And you're sitting there with the answer in your hand and the Word of God, and the answer in your heart because you've trusted Christ, and you're looking them in the eyeballs and saying, I've got what you need. I've got what can fix the problem. I've got what can take care. Well, I just don't know. I think I need to do this. And you want to just take them and shake them. You know, you just want to slap some sense into them, but it doesn't work that way. They have to make a personal decision. It's individual soul liberty. Every individual, whether a believer or an unbeliever, will one day stand before God and give an account for the decisions he or she has made in this life. Because of this biblical teaching, Baptists believe in the liberty of the soul or the conscience. Those of us with children, we raise our children, we teach them our values, we teach them our morality, we teach them our Christianity. They get out and they go out on their own, they have to make their own decisions. Now, hopefully we've influenced them strong enough that they make the right ones. But they have to make their own decisions. They've got to go on from there. Again, just like those that we work with, those that we influence in other areas of life. We can do all we can to influence people, but others have to make their decisions. They have to choose for themselves. Individual responsibility is a key doctrine in the Word of God. Just in the verses we've gone through, we see that every individual has a responsibility. Some decide to get up and go to Sunday school on Sunday morning. Some decide not to. Individual soul liberty. It's a free country. You can do what you want to. Sometimes preachers get caught up in trying to coerce people into doing things and browbeat them and force them. I've told you before, I'm not a high-maintenance pastor. And that's just the way it is. And if you make decisions, and I'm not talking about going out and murdering somebody or something like that, but, you know, we get these young guys come in here and they say, boy, you ought to get that Sunday morning crowd and really nail them for not being in Sunday school. Well, man, we've been around here for 19 years, and most people have been here for a long time. They know Sunday school's at 9:45. We announced coming into this that, you know, we were going to have our Sunday school lessons were going to be on the Baptist distinctives and all that. They have to make an individual decision whether they're going to come or not. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it because it's too important. My sleep's too important for me to lose it over somebody else making a decision that I don't think they make the right decision. Now, again, if it's matters of sinfulness, then something's got to be done. It's got to be addressed. But in these areas, we all make our own decisions in our relationship with God. We can be guided, we can be counseled, we can receive encouragement and fellowship, but ultimately we all make our own decision when it comes to spiritual matters. And so every individual has to make that decision. You have to make that decision to trust Christ. As we've been talking about, you can't, you know, the Muslims will by the sword force you to convert to their religion. The Catholics, historically, through the Inquisition and the Dark Ages, would by force make people recant personal faith in Christ and trust the Holy Roman Church. All right? There have been forced conversions. We talked about the starting of the Catholic Church in 312 A.D. with Constantine, who baptized his entire army by sprinkling water on them. They didn't have a choice. They were his army, and he was going to do it to them whether they wanted to or not. Doesn't do any good. Doesn't mean a thing when it's done that way. So a decision to trust Christ is a personal, responsible decision. The decision to get baptized is a personal, individual decision. Therefore, infant baptism is void. Because that child is not, that infant is not making its own decision. Its parents are taking it to an altar and having water applied to it in one manner or another. The child knows nothing about it. Those of us that were baptized as infants had to be told when we were adults that we were, because we don't remember it. I mean, I can go back and remember some things when I was about 6 years old. That's about as far back as I can go. And so being baptized as an infant is not one of those things that's top on my memory list. And so if it wasn't an individual decision, it really didn't make any difference. So that baptism, loving God, serving God, wanting to walk in fellowship with God, all have to be personal decisions made by an individual. We are free to do and choose what we want to. Baptists historically have believed in this more than any other denomination. And again, we're not saying this to elevate, we're saying this to compare. Reading a book right now called Forged by Faith and reading about the colonies back in the early days and trying to remember which one it was. Massachusetts, of course. In Massachusetts, under congregational rule, Quakers would come into that colony, and they were not allowed to practice their religion freely. The Congregationalists did not allow Baptists, Catholics, Jews, or Quakers. That puts us in the category, doesn't it? Baptists, Catholics, Jews, and Quakers were not allowed in the original colonies to hold services and worship God outside of the Congregational Church in the state of Massachusetts. And one Quaker preacher did it anyways, and they took him and they bore a hole in the middle of his tongue. All right, they just burned a hole right in the middle of his tongue and branded him for preaching outside of the state church in the United States of America. Remember, you know, the contradiction is this is what they left England for. You know, they all left there to get over here to get away from that, and then they got over here and Massachusetts set up the Congregational Church, Virginia set up the Anglican Church. The Quakers finally got Pennsylvania and did not set up a state church, but there were blasphemy laws. One fellow got a bee branded in his forehead for blasphemy because he was preaching outside of the recognized and organized church. The Baptist denomination, so to speak, has never participated in persecuting someone else for exercising individual soul liberty. That's why I say it is a trademark of what we believe. We believe that a person wants to be an atheist, he's got every right in the world to be one. It might be a wrong decision, it might be a foolish decision, but he has the right to make that decision. When Roger Williams founded the Rhode Island colony, it was the first colony in America that granted full religious liberty. It was not a congregational or an Anglican place. When he got into Rhode Island, he was kicked out of Massachusetts for not being a Congregationalist, and he bought Rhode Island from some Indians, bought that property from them, and he started that colony, and it was the first one that Jews and Catholics and Quakers were allowed into without any persecution from anybody else. Why? Because that's part of what we believe and why we believe it. That every individual has a personal responsibility to God to make their own decision. And the Baptists, when they had an opportunity to set up a state church, they passed on that opportunity. And the reason they did was this one key doctrine, individual soul liberty. In Massachusetts, in the Congregational Church, if you weren't in early America, if you weren't a member of the church, you didn't get voted into political office. Because only the people that were in the church were held in high enough esteem that people would vote for them. So an unconverted man that had his goal, that was educated and had his goal in politics, would join the Congregational Church. No conversion required, but would join the Congregational Church just so that they could join it and be in line to get one of those elevated positions. And so even those people who were outwardly unconverted were persecuting the converted people of the Quakers or of the Baptists because they did not believe in individual soul liberty. You had to do what you do. That's why Baptists are so against the state church. Because the state church automatically assumes that sole position, and everything else that happens, happens in regard to them. And everybody is subservient to them. We believe in freedom. Liberty and freedom are key things that John Leland and some of the early Baptists had a big part in the writing of the Constitution to grant these things, because we've always believed in individual soul liberty. So it is a very important and a very key doctrine. And something that we hold very precious, because when you begin to stifle that, when you begin to put that away, you've lost a lot of things. When you take away the individual's responsibility to do, don't we teach that to our kids? The decisions you make, you live with the rest of your life. The things that you do, yes, we can teach, we can, when they're young enough, we can coerce, we can bribe. But when they get on their own, we can simply say, here's the right thing, here's the right thing, here's the right thing. We say that to lost people. We say that to people around all the time. Here's the right thing to do, but it's up to you to do it. But no, if you don't do it, there's consequences. Here's Jesus Christ. The best thing you could do is receive Him into your heart and receive Him into your life. But if you don't do it, here's the consequences. So there's individual soul liberty, but around with liberty comes responsibility. Boy, it's a lost teaching in our day. In the practical aspect, people just don't take personal responsibility anymore. Why should I have to? Why do I have to? Why can't everybody just take me as I am? My daughter Miranda went in for a test the other day and had to take a math test for a job application. And about 3 minutes later, she handed it back. It was just easy math, basic math. And the guy said, "Are you done already?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "The last girl took 20 minutes to do that." She said, "The one before that came out and said, 'This is stupid. I don't have to do this,' and slammed it down on the table. She couldn't do the simple math problems." Yes, okay, if you didn't take the time to learn, now comes responsibility. Now when it's time to put it down, "I don't need to do this." Well, let's see. You're going to work in a department store. You're going to work at cash register. You know, they don't always give you the information back, you know, like we think they should. So along with the decision not to learn at some time in our life came the responsibility that one day when it's required, you're not going to be prepared to do it. One of these days, God is going to ask of every soul, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ?" If they didn't prepare in this life with what to do with that answer, then when it comes time, they can't slap the paper down before God and say, "This is stupid. It doesn't matter." It does matter. Because whosoever was not found written was cast into the lake of fire. But whosoever shall call shall be given eternal life. And so it's individual soul liberty. You can't hide behind Bible Baptist Church. I can't hide behind Bible Baptist. We can't say, "What do you believe?" "Well, my church believes." No, what do you believe? Because God's going to require of every one of us individually. knock on somebody's door and they say, "Well, I go to the church down there on the corner." Well, what church is that? I think it's a Methodist church. Or they don't even know what the name of it is. You know, if you go to Ken yesterday, when on the side of the road we were on, when we were doing. So we'd say, "Do you go to church anywhere?" "Yeah, I go to that one over on what you know some road." Or one guy says, "When I go to the Church of Christ." You know, when I go. We said, "Well, since you don't," I said, "Well, since you doesn't seem like you go very often, then why don't you come and visit us one of these times?" Everybody has the right. We go out on visitation. Eric and John were with us yesterday, but Ken and I were doing one side of the road, and we park the vehicle and we get out, and it's obvious once we get out of the vehicle, you know, these guys are here for a reason. And carrying a New Testament, got some gospel tracts in our pockets. And this guy had come out, and he'd just come out on his front yard and was sitting down on the porch. And he just had a cup of coffee in his hand, just got himself comfortable on his recliner on his front porch, sat back and turned and looked, and here was the two of us getting out of the van. Man, he got up and he hightailed it around to the back of that house as fast as he could. He got out there and got in the back. Another house, big picture window, and the curtains are open. Two dogs are sitting there scratching at the window on the inside. Grandma and Mom and about three kids are all gathered around. They all look out the window as we're walking up the driveway. We wave at them, and they wave back, and then they come over and slam the curtains shut. We go up to the door, and Ken was at this door, and the lady just pulls back the shade enough to say, "Not today," and closes it back. So what do you do? Now you can stand there and bang on the door and yell and scream and preach and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? They are going to give account of themselves to God. And I believe that one day, when they stand before God for judgment, and they say, "Lord, it's not fair. I didn't know." He's going to give them. I don't know if it's a video clip, a DVD. I don't know what he's. I don't know how what the technology God has. He can do anything he wants to. But somehow he's going to show them that day that when two people came to their door, they shut those curtains like that and peeked out and said, "I don't have time," and shut it. Now, granted, they probably thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I couldn't blame them for not wanting to talk if they thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses. I understand that. But we weren't. And at least they got a gospel tract in their door, no matter what. And so they have to. But they have a personal responsibility before God. Individual soul liberty. Now, folks, it's easy to point at them and say, "Yes, they do. So do we. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We have responsibilities too. We don't have to do it. I don't have to surrender to God. I don't have to come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't have to do what I do or live like I live or read my Bible or do this. I don't have to do all that. No, we don't have to. But the consequences are there and the benefits are there and the rewards are there when we exercise our individual soul liberty and do the right things. Though this truth has been stifled by denominations in the past and present, Baptists have never persecuted or forced others with opposing beliefs to accept Christ or Christianity. We've never forced anyone to assent or deny any doctrine. We do not coerce anyone to worship God against their will. Down through the Crusades and the European Empire, down through history, as one nation has taken over another, you know, you need to be thankful. You know, again, I'm doing a lot of reading in early American history, colonial history, and all that. And you understand that Florida was owned by Spain. And the Louisiana areas and all that were owned by France. Well, you know that France and Spain have the same main religion, and that's Catholicism. You know what we did? We took criminals and put them in Georgia. You know, all these plantation, all these farmers came over and settled North and South Carolina and Pennsylvania and all this. All these church people came over. When James Oglethorpe settled Georgia, he brought... It's like Australia. He brought prisoners over and put them in Georgia. He put a rough group of people in Georgia. You know why? To separate Florida from Kentucky and Tennessee. He put some hooligans, basically, he put hooligans in Georgia So that the Catholics of Florida, this was literally what they did, so the Catholics of Florida could not get into the upper states and begin to influence non-Catholic people. So he put the hooligans in there. That's why when Whitfield came over from England, he went straight to Georgia and preached, and great revival, the Great Awakening broke out because he had some rough sinners down there. And George Whitfield was the one, even over in England, that went out into the fields and the moorfields and preached to the miners and the ruffians and that low group and everything. And when he came to Georgia, he felt like he was back in the minefields of Moorfield back in England. And he preached, and conversion took place all over the place. If again, we're looking at human circumstances and human reasoning, but we understand the hand of God's behind all that. But you realize how easy, and then there was Canada and Quebec right in the north. You know what they were, don't you? Catholic. And so we were surrounded basically on all of our sides by that, and the Catholic Church tried to infiltrate and tried to take control of early America. Do you know if they did, history would be completely different than it is now? Because where the Catholic Church is in control, and I'm not saying this to slam, I'm just saying as matters of history, when the Catholic Church is controlled, they dominate the religious life of that state or of that culture. And if they have total control, no one else is allowed to worship. If you go into a country that is Roman Catholic owned and operated, you do not have a Baptist church in that country. You do not have this or that or the other in that country. And so even in our history, our religious liberty was secured by people like Roger Williams, people like John Leland, early people that believed in individual soul liberty. Now, it spread outside of the Baptists. And some of the others, especially the Quakers, who were one of the oppressed people, picked up on it, and they began to promote it also. And so it became part of our founding documents, this thing of individual soul liberty. It is an important doctrine, important teaching. And we have to believe it now, because if we don't, then we think, well, you know, you talk to somebody, are you a Christian? Well, my mom and dad go to church. I was raised in the church. I was baptized in the church. That's nice. All those things were done for you. What have you done? What have you done individually? Now, they're not trying to overthrow the doctrine of individual soul responsibility, but they are ignorant of that. They're not comprehending that whosoever shall call, and whosoever was not found written. It's based on family. It's based on denomination. It's based on church. It's based on priest. It's based on pastor, something else. It's individual soul liberty. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we do not coerce anyone to worship God against their will or to refrain from worshiping God as they believe. You know, somebody says, well, I don't believe in God. Fine. I mean, you're wrong. But that's your decision. If that's what you decide to do, it's a wrong decision. It's a sad decision. It's a sorrowful decision. It's a fatalistic decision. You know, you figure if someone doesn't believe there's a God, that means just whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Man, what a depressing outlook. You know, someone told me recently, they said, if you want to pray, you go ahead and pray, but I don't believe in prayer. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Man, that'd make you blow your brains out. To just think that this life is just on a course and there's no God that's in control of it, and prayer doesn't. I'm getting ready to preach here in a couple Sundays when I get my turn again. On a Sunday night, I'm getting ready to preach on prayer changes things. You know, Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah asking God, if there's this many, will you do this? And prayer does change things. But the attitude that there's no God and prayer doesn't do anything, man, that's a sad situation to be in. But an individual has every right to make that decision for themselves if they want to. And so we believe in that. That's why, again, we're against the church-state union. We're one church. You know, let's say we made Guernsey County a Baptist county. Well, hallelujah. And all other churches had to close their doors and fold up. Glory to God. And everybody on Sunday morning was required to go to a Baptist church. Now, you know, you say, that wouldn't be so bad. I mean, you get all them lost people in a Baptist church and the gospel being proclaimed, what better could it be? We would never do that. Because we believe in the individual's right. It's a freedom of choice, and he's got a free will. God created him that way. God said, come now and let us read. He gave an invitation, but he never forced. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door." It's always an invitation. It's always the choice of the individual. It's never forced. God never forces Himself upon anybody. The Lord sits back and says, "I'm knocking at the door if you'll open it up. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He gives that invitation, but He never forces Himself. Some people would prefer that God does. Well, if God is God, why doesn't He just overthrow everything and make perfect right? One of these days He will. We talked about that on Wednesday night. One of these days He will, and then people will complain against that, about that too. Because people, human nature will never be happy or satisfied. But individual soul liberty. Every individual stands responsible before God in the decisions they make. And no one else, though we can influence, we can guide, we can counsel. That's as far as we can go. We cannot make the decision in spiritual matters for other people. Everybody individually must trust Christ as Savior. Everybody must decide to live a life that honors and glorifies God. Every individual has to do that, and it can't be forced on anybody else. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for the things that make us what we are. And Lord, we're not these things because they're Baptist. Father, we are these things because the Bible teaches them. And that's our emphasis here as we do this study, that God, the Bible teaches. The emphasis is on the individual, and they have responsibility. We thank You, Lord, for the church. We thank You for the collective body, the congregation. We thank You that we can worship You together and encourage one another. But Father, it's made up of individuals. Lord, every individual makes their own decisions in life concerning spiritual matters. So, Father, give us the wisdom to do that. And, Lord, knowing this truth as we try to reach a lost and dying world, help us to understand, Father, these basic truths so we might more effectively influence the world around us. Bless Your word to our heart. Bless our morning service and those that come to join us. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, we've got about 13 minutes till we begin our morning service.